Mr. Dombrowski? Ms. McColl? Ms. Fishman? Ms. Kilbride? Mr. Crosby? Chairman Martin? Ms. Schukegel is absent. You have a quorum.
We're not going to deal with the minutes from the June 3rd meeting this evening. We'll wait and deal with them at the next meeting when we have the minutes for both the meetings to consider. So what we'll do is we will reconvene the meeting to discuss the Trinity High School application. And what we did when we continued the meeting, we asked Trinity to address two questions. And so we're going to open the public portion of the hearing again and let Trinity address these two questions. So everyone who has been sworn in previously, you're still under oath. If somebody hasn't been sworn in before, would you please stand and let us get you sworn in?
Sure. John, control audio. Okay. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matters before this development review board? Thank you.
All right. So, Ms. Curley, if you want to go ahead and make your presentation, and you can limit it just to these items that we've asked you to consider. If we have any other questions, we will raise them, but you don't have to address anything at this point other than the two items that we asked you to consider.
Zoom can hear you, since it'll probably just be, it's on, if you don't mind, I'm just going to slide these over and I'll just... balancing act out there.
Okay. Thank you all for being here and for going through this with us. I know there's somebody who wasn't here last year, so if you'll or last time, so if you'll indulge me, I'll do a 2-minute quick overview. Trinity High School, and it's not changing. No. Trinity High School is building a link between our two buildings. We are, I don't know why it's not advancing. What you will see on the screen is an overview of our property, which John Houseel did a very nice job of describing the property, the area that we are going to be using. It will. There we go. Okay. So what you see on the screen is an overview of the property, which John Houseel did a very nice job describing. The interior bounded by red is the only area that we're talking about for construction. This is the picture of what it looks like right now. This is the only area of the property that will be drastically changed. Lathrop and Division, the two kind of iconic views of the school, will not be altered in any way. This blue awning, this is the door where if you are a citizen and you are bringing your child to the Park District camps that we host in our small gym, this is the door that you go into. When completed, the project will connect the athletic facility to the academic building in such a way that anyone in the parking lot can enter through that main athletic facility portico door and proceed indoors to the small gym in the academic building basement. This is what's going to look like from the inside of our courtyard area. You can see the three main parts of the project. We have the link that's connecting the two buildings. We have an elevator that's going to greatly increase the accessibility of our facilities. And we have a new enclosed courtyard with native plantings and permeable pavers and things that are very sustainable there. I hope Mr. Houseel won't mind. I am going to paraphrase a couple of his conclusions, just so you know our starting point. The project will improve the pedestrian environment, appearance, safety, and functionality of our buildings. It requires no site development allowances, conforms to existing regulations, and supports the village's goals of providing high quality school and community facilities. That is our brief overview I know that one of the primary questions was about the quality and durability of the building materials that we've chosen to use. And on that note, I'm going to introduce Justin from White & Company, who will talk about the various options we have come up with.
Good evening. My name is Justin Ilg. I am the Design Technical Director for White & Company. And as Laura stated, I'm here to talk about the EFIS. As architects, we also have those same concerns for all the building materials we use. EFIS, we always have that knee-jerk reaction of, is that something we want to do? But that's because we have a lot of bad memories of EFIS. EFIS has come a long, long way. It's been in development from the 60s all the way up till now. And what I would like to do is, I feel like I'm gonna get too far away. There we go. Real quick. So the pink, all the pink is existing conditions. Those are our existing buildings. The light yellow is the link. That's all I want to talk about. I know you guys know that. But I want to dive in a little deeper and talk about where we have EFIS and what the, you know, how much is there and what the real concerns are. I guess the facade that faces the courtyard and the drop-off, blue represents, I wish I had a pointer, but you can see the wall we're talking about, right? So it's the blue and the red wall changes colors. Blue represents glass, red represents EFIS. So we have, all in all, we have 103 feet of EFIS that's exposed to the courtyard and the drop off. We have 70 feet at grade that's EFIS. Out of the 70 feet, we have 14 feet that's actually adjacent to a sidewalk. And then the next piece of the puzzle is that from grade up to 6 feet, we have ultra high impact EFIS, which is an extra layer of material. So this is our typical makeup. I'm not going to get into the weeds in this unless anyone has questions. I would love to. This is my favorite stuff to talk about. I do have samples though that I want to get in your hands and I want to talk about. Yeah, we go. Actually, got two. So the big improvement from where EFIS has come from till now is the change of the insulation. So the insulation that used to be used all the time is called EPS or expanded polystyrene. And that's basically what styrofoam cups are made of. Oops. Styrofoam cups, that's EPS. That's what the insulation behind EFIS is still. Or you can upgrade, that's extruded polystyrene. So it's XPS. That is much, much more rigid. It can take much higher impacts than the old polystyrene. So I have this. This is called Armor Mat. And this is what is added to that system to help increase the durability from, somebody might be interested. That's actually embedded behind the white layer. So it's another level of armor, we like to call it. And that would be from 0 to 6 feet, wherever there is EFIS. What about the water? I was Yeah. I love that question. That's a great question. So that was another issue with EFIS. Old EFIS, there was nowhere for the water to go. They had all kinds of different schemes and things they call water management. But unless it was installed perfectly and unless you specified all the different parts and pieces, it had trouble. So if workmanship was not exactly great and you didn't have all those parts and pieces, water could get into the system and then you would get delamination and mold. So this system, if you look at the sample, there's a gap in the back. And that takes after the ideas we have with masonry walls. Mm-hmm. So there's a cavity. So masonry walls and now EFIS basically says, yes, water's gonna come in. And when water comes in, we're gonna allow it to come out. And that's what this channel does. So that adhesive they use, it's called a turbo stick. It creates about a quarter inch gap. And when water does get into the system, that's where it's gonna funnel down. There's one more piece of this that makes this assembly way better than the old stuff. And so behind the EFIS is sheathing. This is a glass. It's basically fiberglass faced chipboard or drywall. This here is air and vapor barrier. It's kind of dusty. I don't know if you want this, but it's basically a rubberized coating. So when water gets through there, it can follow that face all the way down. The question is, how skillful does the installation of the assembly need to be in order for the channeling of water and basically everything to work well? It still has to be done well, but the nice thing is that the air and vapor barrier is fluid applied, so it's sprayed on. It's very, very forgiving. The nice thing about it is any irregularities that's in the sheathing, it will actually flow right around and over. And it actually becomes the best thing I can explain it like, or describe it as like your own skin. But the cool thing about AVB is that water can't go through the EFIS into the building, but any water moisture that's in the cavity, that's like behind the sheathing, that's in the stud space, that can push out like we sweat. That's how that works. It's called partially permeable water, air and vapor barrier. You can even go one step farther and you can get basically something that acts like a pool liner. That's not what we want in this condition. We always want to let the vapors get out of the wall. Yes.
How does this moisture end up getting in there in the first place?
Think
about mold and healthy.
All right. So moisture is always in the air all the time. Moisture gets collected in places where if it's cold on one side and it's warm on the other, just like a glass of water, you get condensation. So even in this room, we're probably at about, 60% humidity right now. It's just a guess because it's summertime. Maybe it's less because the air conditioning's on. So maybe it's 45%, but there's still humidity here. And it moves, it migrates all the time. It's always trying to get, there's differential pressures. I don't want to hear about this stuff, but it's here. Different pressures in the building versus outside. So they're trying to push into the building or out of the building. A lot of times moisture gets trapped into these walls and it needs to get out. The nice thing about our system and most commercial buildings now is that there is no materials that mold wants to grow on. So like the expanded, the extruded polystyrene, there's no food for the mold. You know, the sheathing, the studs, there's no wood in the system. The old system too had Tyvek on it. You guys know what that is, a building wrap. Lots of places for moisture to hang out and stuff, where this system's very, very tight. There's the only spot for moisture to hang out is the spot that's is that gap, and it dries out eventually. It eventually will condense in there and it will make its way down, but it's you'll never see it. It's never that much. Same thing happens in our brick walls too. The exact same thing happens. So at the bottom of those walls, there's weep holes,
yep.
Right? At the bottom of this wall, there's an aluminum channel and it also has weep holes, right? But I'm not here to only talk about the ethos. We have a couple other things we want to talk about and just bring up to your attention. So if there's any other, no other questions about the ethos at the moment, I'll continue. Okay. Oh, so this is the elevation. Anything in red, this is where the ultra high impact would be. Actually, we had to push it a little bit higher than 6 feet just so we hit a reveal so you could change the different thicknesses of material a little better. So the next thing we looked at is doing basically the first 4.5 feet of stone. And we talked about maybe we could match the stone that's on the existing gymnasium. The assembly would be a traditional cavity wall assembly. And that's all good. I think we all really like the idea. We all know that stone, this is not thin. This would be a full thickness stone. It's tough, it's durable, lasts forever. However, we got pricing back for the stone and it was astronomical. So for 350 square feet, which is, let's see here, just those striped areas, the estimate came back at $37,500. So, what's that? What? Maybe it could have been.
Higher than what the other.
Oh, one. A lot higher. I mean, a lot higher than expected, that's for sure. Yeah, yes. So that comes out to something like $107 a square foot. So it's hard for us to recommend doing that because that price tag on that material just doesn't make sense. A normal price might be something like $60 a square foot. So I went back to the drawing board and we still really want to address these things. If you're not satisfied with the original basis of design for the EFIS. So the next system we looked at, is a traditional stucco system. Now the stucco system that I came across by talking with our rep is a traditional stucco system. It's real Portland cement. However, it's built up in a similar fashion that the EFIS is. And what we really like about that is that we have continuous insulation on the outside of the sheathing. And that is the best situation. I have a sample of the stucco. It is also, you know what, I keep it in a box because it's kind of dusty. It's the real deal. But it's also, the nice thing also about the stucco system is that it would also be installed by the same people that installed the EFIS. So it'd be all under one contract. You have the same skilled artisans, really. But when they're doing stucco, they have now graduated to being an artisan because there's not a whole lot of people doing stucco anymore.
There's no channel in that.
Oh, so in that system, do you see the there's netting back there?
So the whole thing.
Oh, that netting is a great thing. So what that allows it to do is that entire system basically allows for moisture drainage. So any moisture that gets in there has a way out. It also, though, acts as a decoupler. So that mesh allows the stucco to not be permanently bound to the structure. And permanently meaning that, I mean, it's not falling off, but the structure can move a little bit. And that's what we need with plaster. Plaster does not want to move. Now, if you have any bit of movement in the backup wall, so studs or brick or whatever, the plaster is going to crack. So that's the really important thing with plaster, is that the two assemblies hang out together, but they're not married, you know. There's also other layers we can add called crack isolation membrane. And that just enhances it actually gets rid of really any transference of problems in the backup wall to the face of the plaster. That mesh, yeah, it's I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's nylon or a polyvinyl or something. So as you guys could see, I mean, that's built up like traditional stucco. It has the metal lath in there. Anyone has an old house like I do, my house is 136 years old. It is tough stuff to deal with once it's installed. So I feel very comfortable recommending that to Trinity for the first 4.5 feet, because that can take anything you can throw at it that's unintentional. You know, I mean, if you drive a car into it, anything's going to break. If you whip a baseball at it, probably going to be fine. You know, a skateboard shoots off at it, probably going to be fine. I know it will be fine.
More durable.
That is more durable than PFAS, right? So that was the good news. We got cost back today for that. And to upgrade to that for the first 4.5 feet was right around $10,000 compared to the $38,000. So that's my recommendation. That's White & Company's recommendation. If we as a group are still feeling uncomfortable about it, just going all the way. Another great question. So that sample shows a very rough finish and it's gray. It happens to be gray. It's the best thing they could get me in 2 days. But it will actually have a very, very similar finish to this. And if you're standing 5 feet away, you're probably not going to notice the difference. And where it changes is where we have those horizontal reveals. It'll be EFAS. Mm-hmm. I keep forgetting I put these. We haven't, because our panelized, basically the panel, so anything that's framed by a reveal is very small. It's like 4 feet high by, I think, 12 feet. And stucco can go almost 18 feet by 18 feet both directions before you have to introduce a movement joint. So I feel really comfortable with the design we have. I think it actually plays very nicely with the stucco system.
Have any data as far as the stucco system? How much of it better is it?
I don't really know. I've dug for that data. There's not hard edge data. It's not like it went through testing, like if you had a hurricane level EFIS where they actually have to pass lots of different ASTMs in order to achieve a certain level that, say, Florida would allow it to be used. The EFIS we use in our area There's it's empirical data. It's the best we have, you know. I would say the stucco is still stronger than the EFIS that has that armor mat as part of it. Yes, yes, right. The finish will be refined like this. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the precast is going to be a little bit smoother. You know, it comes out of a metal form, and that's what we see is metal, the finish of metal on concrete. The EFIS, it's really hard to get it that refined. So it's going to have a little bit of texture. So when we go from precast to that, I think it's noticeable. You know, I mean, the way the sun even just hits it and reflects back at us. I mean, you're going to see something that's almost glossy because the precast is painted and does not have any texture. You know, it's very smooth. So there will be a little difference. Color will be the same. Yeah. I think that wraps up my piece of the presentation. One final view of our nice courtyard. I'm handing off to Trinity's CEO. CFO. COO.
That's Joel. Thank you. Yeah. Just sort of can't see everybody. Let me see here. I'm going to talk to you about the logistics plan, which was the second point that you asked Trinity to come back and report on. This is an overhead view of the Trinity High School's property, which is Division Lathrop, Berkshire, and Jackson. So the top half of the screen is Jackson, and to your right is Division, kind of orient you there. And so the area primarily I'm here to speak to you about is the parking lot area, which runs west to east along Berkshire and then north to south along Jackson. And that's primarily the area about which I'll speak. The parking lot has 217 parking spaces. And what we are proposing is given that the Berglund crew will set up in 38 of those spots. 38 spots are indicated where it is yellow. The arrows that go, that come in off of Lathrop and go east and then go south along the back of what is our auditorium, and then they can turn it in front of the newer gymnasium, head back south, and then exit again off of Lathrop. So we're expecting most of the construction flow will enter and exit off of Lathrop Avenue. The green area, the construction site itself sits in, it's got a red dotted line, I don't know that you can really see that, but it's from, the block there that says job site office on the bottom of the screen and goes to the top of the area where it says construction site abbreviated. So it's in that general area that the actual construction will take place. There is a doorway, that blue awning doorway that we speak about, that will not be accessible once they start construction. But there are plenty, and that goes into our basement. There are plenty of exits in the basement. There are two double doors, a single door, another single door, and one, two, three single doors and a double door. And then on the north end, there's a double door. You would have to go by half flight of stairs to get to the street level. There's also a door at the bottom of that green triangle that you see exterior. That is an entrance for faculty, if they choose to use that entrance. We have a lot of entrances. We will be changing that entrance and exit to emergency only. So we don't, although Berglund is going to maintain a path of egress there, we are not going to allow it except for the case of emergency, and it can be used as part of an evacuation plan. But there's plenty of that, that shouldn't create any issues for the school. The remaining parking, the faculty and staff take 60 of the spots. Our buses use 8 of the spots. We also have one van that uses one. We have a total of 7 handicap spots. So that leaves, if we allocate about 85 to the students, which we believe is probably fairly good, that leaves 43 that we weren't. And there was 5 visitor parking spots as well. We were not earmarked 43 spots. So that means that the 38 spots Berglund would take would still leave some left over even after the handicapped and after the visitor and students and staff and the Trinity vehicles. The, and I was gonna speak to one more thing. Internally, we have already, we have assigned parking for those that are in the building every day, faculty, staff, and eventually when the students come, they buy a parking pass. We have internally reassigned already any of our faculty and staff to new parking spots, anyone that had a spot within that yellow area. And depending on when we get the permit, they've already been instructed where their new spots are. So we are ready to move on that. Fresh teachers report on August 16th. The new incoming freshmen, whether they're transferring in or the freshman class, they will be there on August 19th. And then everyone will be on the campus on Monday, August 23rd. There will be a lot of construction in the concrete area right now where it says construction site. And provided, assuming if we could get a permit on the 29th of June and then Berglund can get out and start dropping their materials and setting up their fencing, that construction, the dig of the current concrete asphalt that needs to come up, that would be complete before the end of July. And then the fencing would go up and then that egress would be created. But we'd like to get that complete before we have the students back on campus. That was the only thing that we were concerned about. If the students were there, we didn't want that to be going on. And I can take questions if you have any or not.
Parking lot is not full.
Or better yet, the year before that, when we were, everybody was on site, correct. It gets full when we have events, or if there's the play is going on, or you have a play and a basketball game, which is usually evening. So it can fill up, but it's not a rule of thumb. But it does occur. Berglund does not anticipate parking, or they've been told and they cannot park on the street at all. What we're showing right now is the entire yellow area fenced off. That will be altered as we figure out the vehicles and figure out the drop and figure out the dumpster. They do work in the city where they're accustomed to bringing their workers in, not everyone in an individual car. So this will kind of transpire, but they know they're working within the area for the items I mentioned. Thank you.
And I just have one more thing. It has come to our attention that there were a group of community members who expressed concern. And so we want to, before it gets to this body, we want to put it out there. We had heard some rumblings. They expressed concern about the removal of trees. And so we want to put that on the record, because I understand there was some misinformation about the numbers. If you look at the red outlined area, there are 3 green circles. those three trees will be removed. You'll see here in the courtyard, there are two trees that will be replanted. And if you look to the very left, off almost off the screen, there's a third tree that will be planted. So we're removing three, we're planting three, we're not removing 14 trees. The 14 tree idea was because of the circumference of the trees, that's what we were being asked to replant. But our net tree loss is zero. We're removing three, we're planting three. And like I said, because there had been talk of that in the neighborhood, I wanted to make sure that that was clear. Does anybody have any questions for me? We've also employed an owner's rep from Cullen Construction Company, Cullen Construction Management. You met Emily, she was here last time. She's our rep from Cullen Construction Management because as smart as Jill and I are, we don't do construction. So we do have an on-site owner's rep.
We were talking about just how skilled the people need to be in order to construct the EFIS assembly, even the stucco. So the manufacturer that we've specified will also make site visits for all their first installs. So they have their professionals from the manufacturer will also be doing reviews of the installs. That's all.
Okay, anything else that you want to tell us?
No, sir.
No one that is not here.
So at this point, we close the public portion. We will discuss it a little bit. That's what I recommend.
Okay.
Who do you want to So I actually reached out to my architectural rep from Stowe, which happens to be the person that they spoke with regarding the product. So it's funny because I called and just to get more information for our meeting. And then she knew that I had a meeting tonight and everything about it. And so it was nice. She frankly put my mind at ease as far as the EFIS system, like you said, there's been a long history of it being a terrible product. And now there's two issues, the moisture and the wall, and then the ability to take an impact. Okay. So both of those, it's a completely different system now than when it was, 20 years ago when it had so many problems. Adding that mat to the exterior of the system does increase the durability a lot. Again, I wasn't able to get any kind of data as far as like it's this incrementally how much, but it's significant where they just say flat out 6 feet from grade up to 6 feet, you should put that mat in. I'm comfortable with it. We've typically been a stucco only community, but one of the issues that we have is that there's an energy code that architects have to comply with. And the energy code is pushing buildings to have insulation on the exterior of the building. It's way more efficient. And so we're at the point now we're kind of transitioning to doing that more often now. It will eventually be the point where it's required. That's still a ways away. But so as far as stucco, when we start applying it, this is gonna be kind of where we go in the future, either with the EFIS system or the system that we're showing that was kind of an upgrade as far as impact. So that's information that I can contribute for us to mull over. But I'm not a fan of it going with the stone at the base because I think it's for that small area, and adding a whole nother material to it. You know, you reach the point where the building's got so many things going on and materials. It's just, let's keep it simple and try to, you know, just be consistent. So that's kind of it for what I know. Okay.
This 5 year with the EFAS required, ask them to or condition approval on either the stucco or the stone.
I'm confused. Were you guys going to go with the stucco? Did you? Or no, you would rather do the EFAS? So you'd rather do the stucco with that $10,000.
Okay.
Can somebody say it
out loud?
We would prefer to stay with the high impact EFAS.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's the original plan. Yeah. But now we know the system is there.
There's improvements.
They're add-ons, basically. You can have the base product, and then you add on to it. And what they've done is the installation is the XPS.
What's the warranty?
Warranty for the EVAS is 5 years.
So, and then what, if they do have a problem with impact, you know, like skateboard to something prior to 5 years, you come in, but how do they repair it after? I mean, what's the repair in general? What's the repair for that in general?
I guess it depends, I guess. It does. Well, that depends on how hourly is. But generally, I think they have to cut out a portion of the damage, insulation, and then basically patch it back.
Okay.
It is, yeah. It's like I said, it, from with my experience, every time I've gone to use stucco, it's you know, it's usually, even with an existing structure, we're trying to match stucco, you know, that but if it's a new structure, that you do tend to go, you're moving to the right. So
if the application that we're considering, I think, just spoke of EFAS for the construction material. Is it your intent now that what you're talking about with EFAS is this product that you described tonight that has the additional protection in it? Is that what we're talking about when we're talking about EFAS construction?
Remember the first 60, and then it goes to standard EFAS, which is still, that's still robust. It just doesn't have a protective mat.
And is that what your original application contemplated?
Yes. Yeah. That's industry standard. You
know,
always do that.
And drawings looked as though you're going to be going out in the 6 feet because you're doing all two products. So what number are we looking at? 12 feet? What, 10?
Right around 7 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's about the problem.
Yeah, and so another, if you Google stow durability hammer test, there is a video of the other company and their product, and where they take a hammer to it, and so it's an impressive video. Yeah, it's fun after for an hour or so, but that was it. That mat helps significantly, but a good fallback is the stucco system they showed. But I'm personally comfortable with just the mat going to 7'6" that added on. But I would say let's add a condition to it just so that we're clear that is part of their the system.
And also, just a reminder, there's really 14 feet out of 103 that's vulnerable. As far as being adjacent to along the surface, everything else is either behind a concrete pier, landscaping, or transform.
But you're still going to put enhanced defense for the whole.
So what you're talking about, so I think what Chairman Martin is saying is, if we look to the new condition, what we're saying is for the first, from grade to 7 feet 6 inches, for the full 103 foot span, there will be the product, and then for the remainder of the facade, it will be in the standard as product.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, what we call standard is still an upgrade, upgraded insulation. So still, I mean, even out, I mean,
That doesn't have the mat though, right?
It's
still taking a hammer.
So what's the increased cost to the project with the enhanced EPIS for 7.5 feet by 100 centimeters?
It's part of the base.
So does anyone have any concerns about the appearance? Does the stucco look better than the EPIS? So at least we can say we discussed it. Because to me, these increased costs are nothing. 1.5%, 1/3% over the contract. I think we need to be concerned about durability and appearance rather than cost, because $38,000 on a $2.8 million project is less than 1.5%. All right, so we got no concern about appearance. We're satisfied with the enhanced EPIS for the bottom portion. I think that they've addressed the concerns or the questions I had about parking. I think we still ought to put a condition into a recommendation that there's no parking of construction material or employees on the streets. All right. Anybody else have any other questions? So are we ready to make a recommendation to the Board of Trustees?
Yes.
Okay. So somebody want to make a motion? All right, no motion.
I motion to approve with Lisa. Did you get the language? Can you read that?
In this proposed finding of fact, there are four different conditions.
Here, why don't I hand this out? You may have been in your packet, but just in case, here's the conditions. Yeah, they're in the packet. So, in preparing the draft approval with conditions that were distributed to the Development Review Board, Stafford did some pretty standard conditions. The attorney built in some pretty standard conditions that we see across applications. I would note, I don't believe that there are any public improvements associated with this project. Standard number four is still relatively standard. We can leave it in there. I don't know that it does any harm. I don't think the applicant has had an opportunity to see this yet, so if the chairman doesn't mind, I'll just read it to them so they know what it is. So there would be four conditions. The project shall be built in substantial conformity with the application and approved plans. The project shall comply with the landscaping requirements of section 10-24 of the zoning ordinance. That takes into account the removal of three trees, replacement of three trees, and then a contribution in lieu of replacement of 11 additional trees per the landscape ordinance, which the village finds to be acceptable. Because trees are required to be replaced on a caliber inch basis, and to the extent that they cannot be replaced in that manner, then a fee in lieu of replacement is acceptable. Condition number three, the applicant shall comply with the village's requirements for tree replacement or payment of a fee in lieu thereof. The credit being given to the applicant for trees planted on the subject property as part of the project, which is
the same as number two.
Yeah, I think. And then the other condition that I was mentioning, prior to the issuance of the building permit for any portion of the project, the petitioner shall post a letter of credit in favor of the village in a form acceptable to the village attorney or a cash deposit with the village equal to 125% of the village engineer's estimate of the costs of the public improvements of the project, if any, to secure the completion, maintenance, and or repair of the public improvements. The letter of credit or cash deposit shall be held, if not already drawn on, drawn and slash or spent, for no less than 6 months after the issuance of the final certificate of occupancy for the project. The village engineer, I don't believe, has identified any public improvements, which is where the if any language comes in.
Don't we also have a condition for which the village to go out of the property to inspect the construction?
So the village has the authority under the building code to go onto the property to conduct inspections relative to the construction. We also have the right under the code to inspect for fire safety purposes, and also to enforce any local ordinances regarding property maintenance or building codes. The condition, Chairman Martin, that I think you're referring to often applies to stormwater detention when there's a portion of the project that requires that some form of stormwater detention be installed. We're not necessarily looking at that here, so I spoke with the village engineer about that condition, and he doesn't believe that it's necessary. The level of detailed civil drawings that have been provided up to this point have addressed any concerns that he might have, that he feels comfortable that condition need not be applied.
Well, then, to these conditions, while we make a motion, we add another condition, which is street parking for construction. The construction company or its employees, the storing of any building materials on the public right.
And then, give me a second, we'll talk about the. The way I have it written down, we've got the village attorney on the line. Carmen, can you hear me? Okay, Carmen's not.
Yes, I can.
So it sounds as though it's as proposed, but I think it's worth clarifying that the building materials shall be, what would we call the product name? I think that would be helpful for the first 7 feet, 6 inches. So the exterior building material.
Can you pull up that section over the system? The name of the system is like CI something or other.
So this sign is Scotherm CI.
Yeah.
XPS.
Carmen, I'll send this to you.
And does it have the word? I can't read it. I'm sorry. I can't read it. Does it have the map? Is one of the items on there?
No,
okay.
So wants the AM. Yeah.
Right. I think that you're going to have probably two lineups, one with the standard and then for the first 7.5 feet.
Will be that name plus with our.
Yes. Right. Yeah, right.
What did you call the armor?
Armor bath.
ARMOR. Okay. So I hate to be this nitpicky, but I just want to make sure I get it right. MATMATT. So the exterior building materials shall be Stoker CIXPS Lotusen with the armor mat or from grade. Carmen, you may have to adjust this up a little bit. To 7 feet, 6 inches above grade. Exterior building material shall be, what would we call it, Stotherm CIXPS Lotusen above that point or for the remainder of the structure?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for helping.
Any other conditions we discussed that we think are important in making a recommendation? All right, so now we've got how many? We've got seven.
Well, we merged two and three, and I think we have five.
So
somebody want to make a motion now?
So Chair, oh, so Member Crosby made a motion. Would it be appropriate then?
I don't think you were finished making the motion, but you were about to.
I think you just helped David finish making his motion.
With the five conditions stated earlier.
Okay. Seconded that we recommend to the Board of Trustees that this application be approved subject to the five conditions that we've discussed. Do we have any discussion? Okay, we're ready to vote.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Ms. McColl?
Yes.
Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Ms. Kilbride?
Yes.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Chairman Mark?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay.
The next order.
So now we generally are we're supposed to submit findings of fact to the Board of Trustees also. And because of the schedule that Trinity is trying to follow, if we have some suggested some draft findings of fact that have been given to us to review, is everyone comfortable with going ahead and discussing the findings of fact? Okay. I had a couple of comments. These findings, I think, need to be amended to reflect that not only there was a hearing on June 3rd, but the hearing was continued to this evening. I think it's a standard E says that evidence presented by the petitioner suggested there be no diminishment of property values in the vicinity. I don't remember hearing any such evidence from anybody during the presentation last week. So I think we could massage E to say that, you know, that the board believes that based on the type of improvement and the location of the improvement in the interior of the applicant's property, that there'll be no diminishment of property values in the vicinity of the project. So that was really the only constructive one that I thought we needed to discuss a change. Anybody else have any comments on these proposed findings? Does somebody want to make a motion on these to accept these findings?
I move to accept these findings.
Okay.
A second.
So you're moving to accept them as they've been presented here. Subject to all the other conditions.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Ms. Kilbride?
Yes.
Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Ms. McColl?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Chairman Mark?
No. I don't think there's been any evidence presented to support finding.
Well, I thought we were making those adjustments, your edits.
Yeah, they were making the adjustments.
Oh, okay. I thought you moved to accept the.
Well, with your adjustments.
With your edits.
With E.
Okay. As of.
So we have with the added. Chairman condition. Okay, Chairman
Martin said. As long as that's Okay, so the recommendation of the Development Review Board to the Board of Trustees will be in favor of approving the application. You can talk to Lisa about when this will be before the trustees. Thank you all for coming this evening. Do we have a motion to adjourn? It's been 30 seconds.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.